Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, whichever link you may be listening through, or you can call us at 347-826-7448 to be a part of the show. I'm just going to throw this out here. If you want to call in and weigh in on how you think Blake Bortles is doing up to this point, if you want to point out either your favorite thing from this weekend or your least favorite thing, maybe you see a problem with the team or what you think the major issue is or maybe the major strong point, I'd love to hear from you as well. Like I said, just call in 347-826-7448. I will try my best to get to every call. First let's jump right into, that game on Sunday. And the final score was 33 for the Chargers and 14 for the Jaguars. But to me, this game was, the score doesn't necessarily dictate what kind of game this was. This was an actual, this was an actual really cool game. I mean, not cool as far as the outcome. I'm not going to try to pretend that it wasn't not the outcome I wanted. Phillip Rivers is a good quarterback. A lot of times he's underrated. He has a lot of weapons out there. This is going to happen. We know the Jaguars aren't 100% because of, some of the injuries and everything. We know this. We're not, Jaguar fans aren't dumb. We know that this is a building process. And getting the right pieces in the right places is getting there. Jaguars put up two touchdowns in the second quarter. It happened to be the only time they scored during the game, but, Bortles is out there making plays. A lot of guys say that he is a lot like Big Ben Roethlisberger out of the Steelers, who you'll see this week as they come into Jacksonville. But, I kind of give him that. He's a big guy. He's very elusive. He's very hard to bring down. He extends plays. He makes plays, like a Roethlisberger, like a Tony Romo, those kind of things. He's got a great throw in motion. He went 29 for 37 this week. 253 yards, had the one touchdown throw with Gerhardt running the other one in, obviously, and the two interceptions. But, when you're playing from behind, a lot of times you're going to have interceptions because you're trying to sometimes fit balls in places and the defense just knows it. It's, you can make the perfect pass, and if they're waiting on it, there's nothing you can do about it. The great ones do it. The bad ones do it. Bortles clearly, he's got to play enough games for us to know one way or the other. As of right now, I've said on other shows, I like when quarterbacks throw between, baseline 28 to 30 passes a game, and I want them throwing no more than 40 because it's just way too many times I have them throwing for the most part. Now, there are some exceptions, but especially Bortles just starting out like this, I really don't think he has any business throwing more than 40 passes in a game. And that doesn't mean if he throws 40 by the third quarter that he shouldn't throw anymore, we should take him out. I'm just saying it's usually scenario-based. But, on the flip side, same number of completions for Phillip Rivers, and he threw two more passes than that. He threw 39. He had more yardage, and he had three touchdowns. But, it's just the difference in dynamics as well, because Rivers has played on this Charger team for many years. He's thrown to these guys for many years. There's only a handful of new people that he may not be as familiar with. Bortles didn't even know the most of this team, most of these guys. Storm Johnson's the only guy he's probably ever ran across up until, 4 months ago. I thought he looked pretty good. If you want to call in, if you had a different take on it or something like that, 347-826-7448. But to me, this—I mean, the stats tell the story. As far as where I see the issue here, the issue with this team is still the running game. You had Gerhardt, 10 carries for 32 yards. Yeah, he got the touchdown. Okay. Denard Robinson, 9 carries for 25 yards. Okay. Bortles actually had 5 carries for 24 yards. So your rookie quarterback in his first ever start, he's only played 2 quarters of pro football coming into this game, almost outrushed your top 2 running backs in half as many carries. And I'm sure the only reason that he ran is he was, coming out of the pocket or something like that to try to avoid being sacked. You had Todman to come in, 1 carry for 4 yards. They've got to get more production out of this running back crew. It's just not good right now. And I think that has a lot to do with it. And you can try to blame the line. You can blame all kinds of stuff. But, I mean, you can't say it's the defensive line. They're getting after the quarterback. Can't say it's the linebackers. Most of the time, they're not getting beat like the rest of these guys are getting torched. I mean, at least you're not Atlanta. I mean, I think right now Atlanta could be the worst defense in the league between them and Oakland. I mean, I wouldn't worry about, that kind of thing. The cover guys, they're hanging on to these guys enough, in the proper way. They're not hanging on penalty-wise. But, you got to get more production out of these guys, or we need to go get somebody, or what? I mean, the quick answer is always, oh, we could sign this guy, or oh, we should do this. All right, first of all, let me throw this out here. No Ray Rice and no Adrian Peterson. And it's not just for the things they may or may not have done, depending on charges or stuff like that. You don't need these guys and their personalities. Their personalities are too big to be on this team. It's just not going to work. You don't need these kind of diva running backs to come in here and do this kind of thing. And in no way am I disrespecting them or their abilities. Both those guys are very accomplished, polished players. They have their own issues they can work out, that kind of thing. When I say going to get somebody, it's either through a trade or a lot of people get released or practice squads, that sort of thing, because the NFL rule, I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but the NFL rule is, if you're on a practice squad, you technically have no real allegiance to that team. Any of the other 31 teams, or actually any of the 32 teams, can offer you the full ride contract to be on the 53-man roster, even if it's for a week-by-week basis. So if you're on, the Seahawks practice squad and the Jaguars give you a call and, hey, would you like to be part of the 53-man roster? Your contract's waiting on you. Come on down. On the flip side, if you're on the Jacksonville practice squad and the Dallas Cowboys call, then it's still your call. But I don't know why you wouldn't take full advantage of being on a big squad. But back to what I'm saying, if the best production you're going to get out of your running backs are, 32 for Gerhardt, 25 for Denard, and 4 for Todman, I'm happy that Bortles had the 5 carries for 24 yards, including an 8-yard burst. That's fine to me. I mean, because the receiving core you look at, I understand why their numbers are as spread out as they are. For one, this offensive scheme likes to spread the ball around. And I'm not just making excuses trying to just point at the running backs. But it is the running backs, because the offensive line, to me, is doing a pretty decent job. A lot better than they were initially, which is why, to me, it's not all Henny's fault in the first couple games, but, it is what it is. We're past the Henny thing now. Harbor had 69 receiving yards, 68 for Hearns. Allen Robinson, 38. Shorts with 25. Todman had 20. Brown had 12. They're really spreading the ball out here. And, when you get Marquise Lee back, it's suddenly you're going to have all the guys back. Look at these other teams when one of their big receivers goes down. They have to figure out how to play without him. But, I believe it's a hamstring with him. I think he's going to be okay, here soon, be right back on the field. It'd be great to see him back. I mean, think about it, how I just read off you know, the way it's spread out. They do the same thing in San Diego. When you spread it out like that, yeah, two or three receivers can have, you know, 80, 90-yard games. But everything is spread out. It's to keep the defense guessing and to always try to find the open receiver and not just purposely go after one player. I mean, 33-14 is not, I mean, it makes it sound, I mean, when you look at it, in the first quarter, held San Diego to a field goal. In the fourth quarter, held them two field goals. That's progress. For one, to stop them initially in the first quarter, I mean, you know they're amped up. They were playing at home. If you're the home crowd over in San Diego and you see the Chargers were held to 3 points, are you kidding? Who are they playing? Like the Steelers from the 80s? I mean, what? I mean, that's a phenomenal feat right there. The same thing in the fourth quarter. Sure, they gave up a couple touchdowns in the second quarter. Okay. So did San Diego. Third quarter, touchdown and a field goal. Okay. They were starting to get on a roll. They come out of halftime rolling. I mean, that kind of thing happens. But you look at this Jaguars team and you see how explosive the offense can be and the fact that the defense can hold them to field goals or less. That's tons of promise. And, you know, sure, Andrew Luck is having a pretty good year and tearing it up. But in this division, It's still wide open. I mean, so what? You're 0-4. You know how many more games that means you get to play? 12. You win them all, you're 12-4. You lose two of them, hey, you're 10-6. You go 8-4 of the next games and end up 8-8. The sky's the limit on this team. There's so many different things we could talk about as far as where they should be going right now, or you know, at least it's easy to figure it out. I mean, like I said, there's so many teams that are up and down this year. I mean, they don't know what to do. They're almost running in circles trying to figure out what's going on with these teams. At least in my opinion, I'm spelling out where I think the issues are. I think they're easily fixable. Like I said, receiving core is doing well. They're going to be doing even better when Lee comes back. It's the rushing attack. And, I mean, at this point, maybe you need to change it up. Run Gerhardt a little bit. Run Robinson a little bit. Run Todman a little bit. But maybe run some end-arounds with some of these fast receivers, you know. Let Cecil Shorts run from one side to the other. You know, do these kind of change them up. Not really trick plays, but change them up plays. I mean, we're not talking that ridiculous debacle that the Saints tried with the fake punt. I mean, third graders do better than that. No, we're talking about the end arounds, the fake tosses, the that kind of stuff. Play it up a little bit. This running game will set up Bortles passing. Like I said, 29 for 37, 253 and a touchdown. That's his first ever start. I'm good with that. That's the first time he has actually had the reins to the team. And, you know, he finished up Henny's game last time. So he had to take over for what Henny had started. Here, he was given a pile of Play-Doh and said, hey, make something. And he was starting to build a castle out of it, you know. You got to commend the effort of this guy. You know, once again, if you want to call in, if you think I'm wrong, if you think I'm right, if you want to talk about something different, that's fine. 347-826-7448. We'll get you in the Jaguar zone right now. Now, they have made some roster moves in the last few days. Craig Lawson, the safety, was signed to the 53-man roster. Winston Guy Jr. was waived. He was a safety. And Tommy Streeter was signed to the practice squad. It's another wide receiver, you know, just in case. I think he's the backup option as well, just in case Marquise Lee isn't ready to go. You know, want another option just in case. I mean, I feel good about those moves they made right there. that tells me that, okay, we need an extra center fielder, because that's kind of what a safety is a lot of times. Need another center fielder out there to help. You know, you can't get beat deep in this league. If you can give up the deep ball, it's usually not good. You know, adding those guys can do that. Adding Streeter, I believe Streeter has played in the league many other places. You know, that guy's just adding depth to a position. Some of the injuries from this week. You got Alan Ball, the cornerback. He had an abdomen injury. Seems like he's going to recover from that. Okay, Gerhardt and Harbor had foot-related injuries, ankle and a calf there. Alan Hearns had an ankle as well. You know what? They played this week. They're still doing pretty well. You know, they're able to you know, tough these out a little bit. I'm not saying you should always play hurt or anything, but, you know, they were able to give it a go. You know, maybe that's Gerhardt's issue. He can't really get the ball rolling the way he wants to and be as explosive as he used to be back in college, even at I believe he went to Stanford. He might even played with Andrew Luck. Can't remember that. If somebody wants to look that up and call in, I'd love to hear it. But, you know, Marquise Lee with his hamstring. He didn't practice all week, so, you know, obviously he didn't play. That's fine. You want Marquise Lee 100%, or at least 95%. You know, you had Marks and Miller, the defensive tackles. Marks ended up not playing. Miller has an ankle issue. Seems to be an ankle thing going on, because Paz had it as well. He was, you know, all these guys are fighting through these injuries. It's not a, you know, they're in shape, they're out of shape. It wasn't nothing like that. It's the stress of playing in this league and having some of the crazy assignments they've run into in the first couple weeks is going to run you ragged a little bit. And, you know, Paz tore the offensive tackle with a hand injury. These guys are doing their best. It's good. I mean, it's crazy. I didn't realize how many people were actually on the injured list. You know, Mickey Schuler was hurt, ended up not, or yeah, I mean, he was sick, sorry, and I ended up not playing. Fullback Tuifu with the ankle injury. I mean, it's going to happen, especially in the Jacksonville Heat. A lot of times cramps will cause other injuries as you try to play through them, or a lot of times you think they're cramps, you try to play through them. They end up being snags here or there. But, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm happy that these guys are injured, but as far as looking at this injury report, I don't have any concerns. Marquise Lee is going to be fine. You know, Mickey Schuler is going to get better. Sendarek Marks, they were just resting him. He's fine. He's going to be okay. All these guys, I mean, it's not terrible. It's not, you know, knock on wood. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but, you know, knock on wood, these are not season-ending injuries. I mean, it's going to be fine. These guys are all going to be good. And as we're in the last 10 minutes or so here, once again, if you do want to call us in, talk Jaguars of any kind, 347-826-7448. Is the number. You know, let's get into this Steelers game a little bit as we're in the last 10 minutes or so of the show. Appreciate you tuning in here as Impact Media presents Jaguar Zone at 3 End Zone or at the Impact 99 if you want to talk it during the week on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you, or tweet me in your pictures from Jacksonville or fun things you do Jaguar related. You know, obviously we're on Facebook. End Zone is the site you can find us on there. Or if you see us out and about or at games or even at other places, you know, take a picture and tweet it in, and we'll definitely share that along. But like I said, those Pittsburgh Steelers are coming to town this weekend. Should be a good game. It's a 1 o'clock start. It'll be a CBS game. You know, the Steelers are kind of up and down this year. Every time you think Big Ben will get it rolling. He has, you know, issues there. The issue on offense to me is not the running backs for the Steelers. To me, you have to at least double team Antonio Brown, the wide receiver. He is on a couple fantasy teams I have, and he is usually the star performer. And Big Ben always seems to know where he is on the field. And you're going to see, you know, Bortles try to find those guys as well, especially playing at home, having a team like the Steelers there. I think if you cover Brown, that defense is still getting older, and they haven't done a whole lot to make it younger. I think it's a good time to attack, spread the ball around, do some of those end-arounds I'm talking about. Get a lot of people involved early. Make sure Bortles feels comfortable. I mean, a lot of people are comparing him to Teddy Bridgewater, who also started his first game. Well, would have been nicer if he would have got the draw to play against the Atlanta defense as opposed to the Chargers. But, you know, it is what it is. Bortles still coming along greatly. The future is nothing but uphill and bright for him. Like I said, I'll give you three or four keys to this game. Like I said, number one, you have to shut down Antonio Brown. If you let Antonio Brown get loose, he'll have a 200-yard game. You know, I guess key 1A to that is keeping Big Ben in check, because if you keep him in check, then you won't have to worry about Antonio Brown being so open all the time. Key number two, Le'Veon Bell is one of the, I would probably put him somewhere in the top 12 running backs in the league. They have LeGarrette Blount right behind him. That's one of the better 1-2 punches in this league, and they're not afraid to use either of them. I've seen a couple games this year where both those guys ended up over 100 yards rushing. They can also catch out of the backfield. That's why they have them that way. And no matter what they did a couple weeks ago or off the field, they serve their punishment. They're right back in this. And then I guess key number three or four or three and four, whichever, you have to attack this defense. The Steelers defense, they have a couple guys that can come after you, but they had to sign James Harrison this week because they didn't have enough linebackers. They had three or four go down in the same game. I mean, not that James Harrison's bad either. He played for him for many years. Harrison's still got plenty left in the tank. He's still a beast at what he does. But the Jaguars need to spread the ball around, keep these linebackers running all over the place, make sure that these cover guys can't catch them, run all kinds of crossing routes. I mean, you have Allen Robinson. You have Cecil Shorts. Clay Harbor, Allen Hurns. Have Todman run through the middle. I think a lot of these yards that are obtainable, especially from the Steeler defense, are right there in the middle of the field. So, I mean, attack the middle of the field. And you guys are doing such a good job as I tell people all the time, the Jaguar fan base is so unique and so unlike anybody else. Because you guys show up and you're supportive of the team and you're loud and you just throw one of the best tailgates I've ever attended. You make sure that the Jaguar players know that no matter the outcome of that game, you're still behind them. That's why at 0-4 their heads aren't low. They come out of these games, they see you guys standing there, you know, wanting an autograph or a picture, or maybe you just want to chat with them or something. They're happy to do that. There's other teams out there that don't even allow you that access because the players, a lot of times after a loss, don't want any part of anybody. But the Jaguars are different. Jacksonville's different. So keep supporting this team. Keep being behind this team 100% like you guys are. You know, if you're looking for a cool place to watch games when they're out of town or cool place to hang out with other Jaguar fans, I'll do my best to try to come up with all the places everybody is and tell you everything. You can always find the Bowl City Brigade, the Teal Street Hooligans, you can find all those people, and they're always having a good time. You know, I sit here every week and I try to make the case for how you're going to beat your opponent, how the Jaguars can win this week. I think they can beat the Steelers. The Steelers haven't shown me enough that's going to say they're going to dominate. They've been so up and down. I just gave you the keys to how this is going to work. You double cover Antonio Brown. You stop the run and keep Big Ben in check. And you attack the linebackers on offense. You spread the ball around the middle of the field. They're not going to be able to cover it. James Harrison's a little slower than he used to be. He's still good. He still put a hit on you, but he has to catch you. If he doesn't catch you, then he can't put a hit on you. I mean, I don't know how much more simple that could be. And I know it's easy to sit behind a keyboard or on the radio here behind a microphone and say how easy this is or, oh, this is all you do here. I understand this isn't Madden. But that's why we watch the game every week. Because no matter who is supposed to win, it takes four quarters, and sometimes more than that, but it takes at least four quarters to determine who's the better team that day. I think very much the Jaguars could be that team this week. And before I get out of here, I do want to let you know that Impact Media and Endzone has a few things coming up this week. Later on this week, we have the Impact Presents, or Impact Media Presents, Endzone the SEC, where we'll go over all of last week's games. We'll preview this week's games, and we'll give you the insight from you guys, the fans. That's what these shows are about, to give you guys a platform to be able to be heard. And you know, people listen to this. People listen to what you guys say, and they start to take that into account. And then you start to see things happen, good things that'll happen, you know. Shad Khan, if we can get in his ear, he'll start to make these changes. He'll do what he needs to do. And then also, Impact Media presents the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show, which will be live right here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 o'clock on Thursday. That's where we go league-wide, and then we finish up talking a little Falcons. It's always good to, you know, it's always good to hear from you guys anyway, and I appreciate you guys listening in this week. That's pretty much going to do it for me. Once again, appreciate you guys listening. Like I said, the SEC show is coming up later this week. Thursday, the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. I'm your host, Jeremy York. Appreciate you tuning in. Go Jags.